So today I'm in Caution with David Morell, who has agreed to see me today. So David, which mutual friends and acquaintances have we got?
Vanessa, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Rob and Sharon Durantz. Probably other folks at the Rudlow congregation, I'm thinking.
The Pillingers?
Yeah.
Who else?
Well, there are thousands of Pillingers.
Joe and Adrian are the ones I know best.
Yeah, certainly know them.
And so I've come to see you because somebody said, go and see him about the Wednesday congregation, but we'll come on to that in a minute. So the first question is, do you drink tea?
Yes, I do.
And what is your favourite sort of tea?
Weak and moderately milky. I don't have special teas, although there's quite a nice licorice tea that we have every now and again, but other than that, bog standard builders.
That sounds fair enough. And the question which I'm asking everybody, wherever they're coming from, whatever their background, is how do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I'm not sure what it means. If it means that it is sort of comatose but somehow it's going to wake up sometime and assume the position that we had 100 years ago or whatever, I think that's delusional. My perception is that churches that are sleeping are likely to die. I do see Christianity as being on the back foot in this country. The Christian culture is going. Christian assumptions are questioned or even just outright rejected. I think there is vibrant churches. What I think we lack is a real challenge to the secularist worldview. We've got enthusiastic churches, we've got Bible-based churches, we've got charismatic churches, all of which are doing, I think, okay. But I don't see any intellectual or cultural challenge to the basis on which our society is now built, which is there is no God, religion is a thing of the past, all that kind of stuff.
One of the things I've been exploring is the relationship with consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're in a bit of a change of tide with that, because the retail sales index keeps on falling, and I wonder if people are actually beginning to try and get less stuff.
Gosh, you think that's a lifestyle choice rather than running out of cash?
I think for some people it is beginning to be. I'm not sure. I think it's far too early to tell, and I think the whole plastics thing is quite challenging for certain sections of society.
I think there's something of an awareness that we cannot just keep on consuming more and more and more stuff. That the environmental implications of that are catching up with us, both in terms of plastic, climate change and all that kind of stuff. I don't see it at this stage dramatically changing behaviours. I think we're really wedded to comfort, aren't we?
I think we are quite wedded to comfort. But I'm not sure. I'm intrigued to see whether it is the turning point or a turning point or not.
It would be good if it was.
The statement isn't my statement. It was written about 2 years ago in the Daily Telegraph by someone called Tim Stanley.
And what did he mean?
He meant we should all be being evangelistic and we can wake up the church. He comes from a Roman Catholic background, and I was intrigued by it, because what we find in our Anglican churches here is that almost nothing that we can do will encourage people to come to church on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
Our Sunday morning congregations are really slipping. And when I say really slipping, in the past sort of 5 or 6 years at St. Thomas's, we've gone from between 50 and 60 down to between 20 and 30.
Oh gosh, that's dramatic.
Now, it had been 20 or 30 when I arrived, and then it gradually increased. And then it slipped, and partly it slipped because some families moved away.
Some
families' children grew up, and once the oldest child said they don't want to come to church, then the whole family has to stay at home. Some people have died. So it's been, you don't actually need to do that very many times before 30 people are missing.
Yeah.
But the other thing we're finding is that people who are would count themselves as regular churchgoers are only coming once a month or once every 6 weeks because of family commitments or pressure or work. We have some people still looking after grandchildren and elderly parents who are travelling. So it's the Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon at Heart is going really well, for example. So we had, even though we were missing a few, we had 14 adults and 10 children. And that is quite good numbers.
Yeah.
That's in a particular
And
particular
at Heart is what?
So Heart is like a messy church, really. So we have craft and very tightly connected to the story. And we always have questions with the craft tables, kind of theological type questions. Then we do worship and the Bible story and a talk and prayers. And then we eat. So kind of it's church, really. It is church. It is just a very different
not
format.
As we know it.
Well, yes, there are lots of churches not as we know it. It works very well there, and we have other expressions of that. So we have one in Box and one in Killearn. The one in Killearn doesn't have a meal, and people are coming to those.
Yeah.
But the others are not on a Sunday. They're on, the one in the centre of Box is on Wednesday afternoon, and the one in Killearn is on Friday afternoon when they don't have school.
Interesting.
But it's not just that, because our midweeks, so we have a Wednesday morning midweek at 10:30, and we have a Thursday morning midweek now at 9:45 in Killearn. On Thursday we had 14 people at that midweek service in Killearn, and about half of them, possibly slightly more, don't normally come on a Sunday.
That's really interesting.
But they regularly come.
And they will come because it's a better time for them, or because it's a better format?
Because it's a better time, because Sundays are filled with commitment to family.
Yeah.
Or to...
And of course, kids, they're all sports and clubs and stuff. A lot of those are Sunday mornings.
I mean, the Thursdays tend to be older people, but their identity is as part of the church, and that's what they do. And the Wednesdays, I inherited the Wednesday service, and I think every single one of the regular congregation, apart from Vanessa Naish, has died. So Vanessa's the only one who used to come on Wednesdays when I started, and then she didn't come for a while, and then now she's a little bit more mobile again, she's coming. But everyone else has died, but people have come into their place.
Yeah. which is a little bit the pattern of the... well, I suppose it's going to be the pattern of older folks' groups anyway, isn't it? And it's certainly the pattern of the Wednesday afternoon here.
So I was really intrigued about the Wednesday afternoon and what it's like, why you chose to do it strategically, and how it works out. So there's sort of three questions. So what is the Wednesday afternoon like? Because people say to me, oh, it's great. So how does it work?
So if I give you a bit of history, first of all, a few years ago, we had something called TLC, the Tuesday Lunch Club. Out of that came an invitation to be part of Christianity Explored, which they ran with actually quite a lot of the folks from the Tuesday Lunch Club. At the end of which, a lot of folks wanted to keep going with something, so they did Christianity Discovered. Came to the end of that, and folks were still keen to be involved with doing something. And so out of that came the midweek service, which is in many ways a fairly traditional service. Eric, generally speaking, leads. We will have some hymns and some 70s and 80s type songs, stuff that was a la mode when we were in our heyday. There will be a message, a Bible-based message, for about 15, 20 minutes. And that will be followed by questions. And it might be questions, or it might be people sharing a testimony, or discussing a point that's been raised in the talk. I think that arose, first of all, because Christianity Explored and Christianity Discovered had that sort of feedback time. And so it naturally continued. Now, I think that's a great strength, because there's a sense of ownership that comes. People aren't just passive members of the congregation. They're there with things to share, things to ask, sometimes things to disagree with. And on occasions, we will have open prayer, not in a long, convoluted sort of way, but 5 minutes of people from the congregation sharing praise, thanksgiving, or whatever. And generally speaking, another member of the congregation has been asked to do to lead intercessions, and somebody else will have been asked to read. So it's a sort of shared enterprise. The whole thing lasts an hour, almost exactly. And then we go through to the secret weapon, which is tea and cake. And we probably have about 40 people most times. There will be a piece of cake for everybody, and obviously people will chat and get to know each other over that, which again I think it adds to the sort of sense of being a friendly community together. And so that's what we are. My perception is that people grow in faith in it. We have had folks baptized as new believers, although we are very largely OAPs. We have had just recently a couple of ladies go through another Christianity Explored course and are interested to know more. So there is a certain dynamism about it. And although it's mainly old people, it also fits with a few folks who are on shifts who may not be able to manage Sunday, and the odd person here or there who finds Sunday a little bit loud.
It sounds great. Is there an expectation from the church leadership that the Wednesday people will grow up into proper Sunday coming Christians, or does it sit nicely as part of the ministry, these people fully in the fellowship of the church?
Essentially the latter. There are folks who, including ourselves, who go on Sunday as well as Wednesday. But a lot of the folks will just be part of Wednesday, and it's categorised as our fourth congregation. So we have two congregations at Priory Street on a Sunday morning, one congregation up in Rudlow, and this is our other congregation. So the idea is that not just that it's a stepping stone to church, but that this is church.
That's really interesting, because a lot of the kind of criticism about messy church with the children, there seems to be some expectation from some people that actually they will grow up to proper church, which is difficult, because actually if what we were doing in Rudlow wasn't proper church, we wouldn't be doing it. And it is a licensed Anglican place of worship, Heart for Rudlow, so we can do things there without me breaking canon law, which I'm always pleased about, because I'm always at the back of my mind thinking, please don't sack me for this.
You never want to be arrested, do you?
Don't sack me for this.
Carried off to,
I think that is baggage from my my past. So I think there is this kind of, sometimes there can be a growing up, but that's great that you don't have that. One of the people on my ministry team is always very resistant to midweek services. And he's of the sort of theological opinion that the Lord's people should meet on the Lord's Day. And I don't know quite where I am on that, really.
I don't see a theological reason why that's necessary. I mean, it was, when they started meeting on the Sunday, it was a rather unorthodox thing to do, wasn't it? Because the Sabbath was the day before, and they started off meeting in the temple and all that, temple courts in Acts chapter 3 and all that sort of stuff. I don't see a magic in the day.
I feel that in an ideal world, everybody would have a lovely proper Sabbath on a Sunday across the nation.
But our society is not geared like that at all.
We have moved so far away from that, that the church needs to respect the constraints on other people's lives. And we have lots of people who work on Sundays now. We have a few people who don't come to Heart because the person of the family who might come is working on a Sunday, and so that the other person isn't going to bring the children. And we have, I think it's, I feel it's a bit more like the New Testament times when people were required to work, but they would come to church when they could.
Yeah.
And I think encouraging people to think, where can I come, where can I meet and be encouraged and fed in my faith?
I think we've got to do that. And from my point of view, that's not just about congregations. It's about home-based fellowship or cell groups or whatever one likes to call it, which again give you another added layer of flexibility. And some accountability thrown in as well.
We have a Thursday home group in Box, which is part of our church setup. But most of the people who go to it are people who often can't get to a church can't get to church on a Sunday. So we don't, at the moment, we don't write that in as another service. I think that's an interesting question.
It's a moot point, isn't it?
So there might be 12 people there.
Yeah.
And overall, that's a big
If there's worship,
number.
Discipleship and growing in faith, I think it's church, isn't it?
So these are all interesting questions for us. I've been really encouraged. And I can see that there's someone I've spoke to talked about Alpha and how when you run Alpha you then try and put people into institutional church, they that's not what they liked about Alpha. And I can see how in the Wednesday congregation you have managed to hold on to this, the sort of exploring Christianity, Christianity explored things people liked.
Yeah, the ethos of that, to a degree continues. And I agree with you about Alpha. In previous churches, we've come to the end of Alpha groups and folks haven't been ready for Sunday church, but they've valued being part of a group which is a bit similar. And sometimes we've built home groups around them, so that the Alpha group are the nucleus, and you add three or four more established Christians. And that's sometimes worked well. But I think increasingly Sunday morning church is not people's first step towards God, is it?
No. And I think what we need to work out is whether for some people that will never be their step towards God.
Yeah.
And that's okay if they're still building their faith.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's right.
So we're coming to the last question, the roundup question, which is, and I did give you a few minutes' notice of this, what is your favourite thing which begins with T?
That's a ridiculous question. If I was being theologically correct, I would say the Trinity. If I'm following my enthusiasms, I would probably say Tchaikovsky, because I love music, classical music especially. Romantic classical music, most of all. And in terms of stuff that I believe in, Tear Fund, perhaps, because I love the holistic approach that they have to expressing the gospel. And I'm actually a representative of theirs locally. So can I have three?
You can have three.
Thank you.
In fact, that would be very Trinitarian, wouldn't it?
It would, it would.
David, thank you so much for speaking to me this afternoon.
That's lovely. It's been a pleasure.